discussing various possibilities regarding Safek Sota, but the fact that the Torah uses the phrase of Tuma, the Tuma Ksiva Ka'arayos. Two very different possibilities. One very simply is as follows. The woman is not innocent, she's guilty of Kinui, Stira in such a case, that alone, because Nistira, the Torah says that is considered degree, a degree of Tuma, and as a result she is Asura Labal. Or perhaps one could argue somewhat differently that no, Behinit Ma'a means Niv'ela, she's an Eshasi, she's Insa, since indeed there are Raglaim Ladavar, so therefore the Torah applies even to this circumstance what typically would only be the case of an Eshasi, she's Insa. And therefore Tosus writes the following, that technically speaking the concept of Tuma, that really is applicable when it comes to a Sota Vadai, but here the Torah tells us that, you know what, because there are Raglaim Ladavar, even though all we know that Nisr Yichud was violated, but nonetheless, we're told that indeed a Maisa's Nus took place. And we started to discuss a third possibility as follows. Maybe one could argue it's not necessarily that Tumak Siba Christ, when it comes to a Suffix Sota, means that we are Machriya, we are Tola that Bavade Eshes Eshes Insa. Maybe not that extreme. And maybe not that this is considered to be a Tuma Chazasha as a result simply of Kinui and Snira, but maybe a blended, a third possibility. What exactly would that be? After all, these are the two possibilities we've been discussing. What could one suggest as somewhat of a Shivu? So we started to discuss the Tosas, the very beginning, Maseches Nida, Daf Beis, Zohar Aleph, where the Mishnah raises a very, very fascinating issue. We know that right here and now, a woman is considered to be a Nida. Clearly, she sees Dam. The question is as follows. She noticed it now. But can we really assume that it only happened right now? It was noticed now. But maybe it was present minutes ago, an hour ago, a day ago, maybe even beyond that. And therefore, what exactly is the status of all the taros that she handled up until that particular point? So fascinating, in the Mishnah, those are three deos. Perhaps one could argue the following, a chiddush, the dayan shata, that's the shita of Shammai, and that is mikan lahaba, but l'afrei, we don't have to have any concern of tuma at all. Or maybe one could argue the chiddush of hila, we absolutely have to be concerned, and therefore the tuma is mipkidla pkida. That means that, you know, we have to look for a time in the past that we know that she was vade tahor. She did a bedika, and we clearly, the nida did not start at that point in time. But whatever would follow, a person has to be concerned that maybe indeed she is Tamea. Or maybe one could argue, somewhat of a pshara me'es le'es, that we're going to go back for a day. A day. So Tosus is bothered by a very, very simple question. Shouldn't it be absolutely clear? After all, our parsha is a parsha of Sota. And the Torah tells us how to govern the Dine Safek. And the Sugyan Sota da Fokhes, this is not only relevant when it comes to Sota, but this is a klal. This is klal. The lamad ala klal kuliyatsa. Does it inform every aspect of safek? No. But at least let it inform the aspects of a safek tuma. A safek tuma. And anachinami, that's striking that there are different klali ha-safek when it comes to cases of tuma, as opposed to mamon, as opposed to cases of iser vehete. And therefore, when it comes to a case of tuma, we know that if it's a safek, and the Torah tells us, "Vinistra v'nitma'a," that means that, yes, we assume Safek is considered to be Lachumah. And no doubt, that's a Chiddush. All we know is that there was Kinui and Stira, and a woman we discussed had somewhat of a Cheskas Tara. So you know what? We know, Enochinami, that's true. This is a limited Chiddush. It has to resemble the circumstance of Sota. For example, a Safek Tumah, Rishusei Achim. Safek Tumah, Rishusei Achim, Sveiko Tameh. Rishusei Rabim, Sveiko Tahar. So Tosa says the following. You're talking about a case of a Safek Tuma. My Shnami calls Safek Tuma Bershusi Yachid, that in a case of Safek, it is Vaday Tame. Vaday Tame. Why do you have different deos? How far do you pull back the Safek? Isn't this clearly a case of a Safek Tuma? And this is Ar Sugi, Yivamas Dafir Aleph, Sota Daf Chafes, and that is, this is a Safek Tuma, we should say, Sveiko Tame. So Tosa writes, let's skip to the second answer. Tosa says an important Chiddush. This is also Shidun Kovetsis and Mavakamadaf Yiralev, that we limit it to the case of Sota. What are those limiting factors? Oh, one, Bershusiyachin, that's true. What about another? I'll tell you the following. In a case of Sota, the circumstance already generated itself. No? That we know that there is an Ashish, right? And we know there is a Boel. It's just a question, what was the interaction between the two players? What was the interaction between the Boel and the Isha, the Boel and the Isha? But we know that the circumstances indeed are determined. You know what I'll call that? Lamdas, a Suffolk manga. We know that, yes, there is a woman who is an Isser Ereva, she's an Ishus Ish. We know that there is a Boel. The question is contact, interaction between she and him. I understand. Let's assume, for example, we don't even know if Tuma existed. So in such a case, I can't invoke Suffolk Tuma. The reality of Suffolk Tuma is somewhat limited. So for example, I know that there is a mace, and there's a Suffolk as to whether a person came in contact with the mace. You know what? That's called a Suffolk Tuma. That is a Suffolk Maga. But if you don't even know whether in fact the Tuma exists, that's not considered to be a case of Suffolk Tuma at all. We discussed in earlier Shirim, you know what, part of the Dini Chazak are based on, we discussed not so long ago, Nigebatim, you know? The Kohen goes ahead and sees that indeed there is a Nega, which is there, so in such a case that, you know what, he'll declare the Bais as, what do you mean? How does he know that the Nega that was there is there? How does he know what was is? The Gemara says, you know what, you follow Chazaka. Kohen can see that it's there, he'll leave the house, and he'll give a Psak based on what he saw. How do you know that's the case? Maybe it changed. Maybe it got larger. Maybe it got smaller. You know, maybe it increased. Maybe it diminished. How did you know? The Gemara says, you see from that holchin achar hachazaka. Tosus is bothered. Why isn't that a case of a suffix tumor? Maybe one could argue there as well. What do you mean a suffix tumor? That's not really a classic case of a suffix maga, where we know that the tumor existed, but we don't know whether a person came in contact with it. We don't know whether the tumor exists or not. After all, wasn't yet declared as a Vaya Samanuga, the declaration of the Kohen. You know what? I would say, you know what the Sfeikos are? Everything is Tahor, but is there a Chiyuv on the Kohen to declare this is a Vaya Samanuga? Or who says that's a Suffolk Tuma? Suffolk Tuma is very, very precise. It means, you know, I'm here, the mace is here, and the question is, did I go ahead and come in contact with? That's not the case here. We want to know whether there was Tuma yesterday. A woman sees Dam today. Was she Tamea yesterday? You can't invoke Suffolk Tuma to create Tuma. And that's the second Teretz Tosus, after all, that you know what? That you don't say it. Tosus says, Lo garmina misota ella tumas maga velo tumas re'ia. Well, that's an important finish. Maga, yes, but re'ia, no. Okay, so that's why this Mishnah, the Beis, the Gemara does not invoke the calling of Suffolk Tuma. Okay, so that's a beautiful Teretz. The first Teretz Tosus is something which is stunning. You know what it is. Lo yalfina misota letame lemafreya. What exactly does it mean when you have sota the ksiva karayas? It means now she's a surlabal. The whole psak of a suffik tuma is mikam laba, but it's not lemafreya. It's mikam laba and it's not lemafreya. So that's something which is striking in the sense that what exactly does that mean? That Mikanal Haba and not Mafreya, why should that make any difference whatsoever? This is only something that, you know what, I am going to address from here on end. Here on end, Nida Bey, she's absolutely a Nida. The question is, what was the case an hour ago? Now, that's not relevant. Why would one argue indeed that that's true? How do you have a Psak, which is only Mikanal Haba and not the Mafreya? And that tells you something stunning about the nature of the Psak. Meaning that, you know what? When a person is faced with a makom suffik, there are two different tracks. Tier one is to resolve the suffik. That's a form of hakra, to resolve the suffik. You know what I would call that? Birur. We're mevarer. And sometimes you have a psak halacha where birur is absolutely impossible. You know, we cannot weigh in. At the end of the day, I cannot tell you this is what occurred, but you know what? This is a fascinating issue of halacha. How does the Torah expect that you conduct yourself when you have a suffix that cannot be resolved? The Torah has to weigh in on that, no? Certain sfeikos maybe you can resolve. Certain sfeikos you can't resolve. So how do you go ahead and be nohag, the makom suffix, you know? You can learn all the sukkah, Shabbos, Taflamadala, but at the end of the day, Ben Hashmashos is a suffix, yom suffix, laila. You're not going to resolve that suffix, no? You're not going to resolve that suffix. It's a suffix, yom suffix, laila. Chasim, achokas, Rishonim, Rashi, the Ritva. What exactly does that mean? That does it mean that day turns into night gradually? in this window of time is a Safek Yom Safek Laila? Or does it mean, no. Day turns into night instantaneously, but you're going to push me. When does that instant occur? So you know what I'm going to argue? I really don't know. It's sometime after Shkina, sometime before Tzeis, no? But best I can do is arrange. The best, you know, that's a fascinating Kiddush. Is Ben Ashmashos a real Safek or is it a man-made Safek? No? Now that's fascinating, no? The first approach, it's a real Safek. After all, dawn and dusk are transitions. Kadosh Baruch Hu created the world with transitions. The transition has a status of Safek Yom, Safek Laila. Oh, that's the with Ritzvarites, Mesechus Yuma. That, you know what? That's how day and night works. It doesn't go from light to dark. No, it's a transition. And that transition has characteristics of Safek Yom, Safek Laila. Or as opposed to arguing, oh, that's Pashup Shat and Rashi and Chumash, and the beginning of Sefer Bereishis. Day turns to night instantaneously. But we're not sure when that instant is. Kadosh Baruch Hu knows when that instant is, no? Rashi writes that in the Pasuk, Vayechalukim b'yom ha-shvi, no? Kadosh Baruch Hu stopped doing Malach HaBriya Shemayim V'aretz the moment Friday ended, the moment Shabbos began. But it appeared to us, if I were to been there and seen that, you know what I would have said, it looks as though the Malach was spilling over into Shabbos. But Kadosh Baruch Hu knew precise, Rashi writes a Stani Chiddush, no? Kadosh Baruch Hu Yodei Ita V'Ragav. Hashem knows exactly when day ends, when night begins. That's a split second. That's a harifan. But you know what? Bnei Adam don't know when that's true. See what Rashi adds? Bitzarech lehosif mechalo kodesh. That's like a stunning chidra. So you better begin Shabbos early. No? You get the other impression you get from Rashi? Since I don't exactly know when Shabbos begins and Shabbos ends, you have to build in a safety net. It almost sounds like Rashi, the Tosefa Shabbos is like a siyag, because I don't know exactly when Friday ends, when Shabbos begins. As opposed to arguing that there's a window. What does a window mean? It means there are certain things that are objectively a safek. So you know what? When you ask me, how do I do with Ben Hashmashos? It's not that scientifically, empirically, I'm going to figure out exactly when day ends, when night begins. I'm going to tell you, you know what? This is a recognized suffix, and you know what? This is how you have to conduct yourself. Makom suffix. So guess what? Dinim Darais are going to be aser, and certain zeros are going to be mutter, b'makom mitzvah. You know, we're going to tell you how to be noeg, b'makom suffix. So I'll tell you the following fascinating Kiddush. Sometimes Piskei Din are not in the world of Birur, but rather in the world of Nihug. Nihug. That complex sugya needed a beis and a beis. When you have a mikveh that, you know what, today is possible, but a month ago it was kosher. So in such a case, I don't know when the water was removed from that mikveh. So you know what, I'm going to have to paskin based on that chisaron yediyah. So I'll tell you all different types of piskei din. That something that was tameh, that was immersed in that mikveh, remains tameh. Oh, that means that the mikveh was a mikveh psula. You know what I'm going to tell you? I don't know if the mikveh is a mikveh psula. I don't know. I still don't know when the mikveh became, a week ago, a day ago, a year ago, but this is how you have to conduct yourself. I don't know when the woman saw them, but this is how we have to conduct ourselves. If something is nihug, you know what, I'll tell you the following. Nihug can be mikana l'haba. Birur, I would tell the essence is mafreya. The essence is mafreya. And I'll tell you the following. There's a chiddush tosus, nazir daflin, zayin, amud aleph. Tosus says the following. The Gemara mentions the case of, you know what, that there are a couple of Nazirim, and they're taking a stroll, and I know in that field there's a maze. And I see from a distance, you know what, one of them came in contact with that maze. But we don't know which one. Ra'isi tuma shenizra kabin echem. That's the case in the Gemara. That, you know what, one of them, yes, one of them, no. Okay, so what do you do? You know what? Worse is an unusual psak. You know, guy comes over and asks me, you know what I'm going to say? You're a Nazir Tohar. You know, you have a chazakah that you're Nazir Tohar. And misafek, mukmin and a chazakah. Okay, good. Person B comes over to me and says, am I Tamar, a Tohar? You know what I'm going to say? You're Tohar. Because you have a chizkas tara. And misafek, we're not going to go ahead and disrupt and disturb that chazakah. So Tosa says, that sounds really strange. No? You know what that means? I just gave a psak that I know is wrong. I said, Nazir A is Tahar. Nazir B is Tahar. I know that's not true. No? Ra'isi Tuma Shenizra Kabinechem. No? I know one of them is Tahar. I know one of them is Tahar. So how can you give such a psak? How can you give a psak where you know it's not true? So you know what? Tosa says, that's not a kasha. Kol Echad Mukmina Naches Kosei. You know what? The Torah says, follow a chazaka. And that's a pasuk. Oh, that's a pasuk where chulindafyut is negebatim. That's the source of chazaka. Afogav devade echemim tameh. You know what? That's really stunning. You can give a psak, even though you know the psak is wrong. Well, what exactly does that mean? No, you know what? There's a suffix whether he is tahar, And you know what? The Torah says, this is how I should be knowing. You know, this is how you should be knowing. When you have a nazir who is tahar, there's a suffix tuma. Guess what? So the psak is that he remains tahar. Wow, that's an important chiddush. So if you have such a case, for example, a suffix tor b'shus harabim, you know what? Mukminin aches kasei. And the chazak is that he is tavar, af al gav shavadei echotame. That's what Tosa says. That's something which is stunning. You know why that's true? Because what do you think a chazak is? A chazak is an absolute form of birur, an absolute form of zirur. My psak is going to determine which of these guys came in contact with the tumah. I'm going to be the first one to tell you, I don't know which one. If I knew, if somehow I could determine who indeed that was, I would be happy to declare him tamei, him tahor. But given the absence of birur, you have to fall back on a case of nihu. And nihu can even be in a case where we know that is not true. Because this is how you have to conduct yourself a makom safek, and indeed there is a makom safek. Woo! So Rabbi Chanan writes in the Kobet Shirim, in Baba Basra, in Os Ayin Ches, I'm going to tell you this cloud. Whenever you have Dine Hachra, the first thing I would ask yourself is this an attempt of birur, or is this an attempt of nihu? And why is that so important? What difference does it make? You know what the answer is? Because push comes to shove. You know what? Birur is going to take preference over nihug. And it's not really a sira. Nihug is not going to be insulted. Nihug is going to say, if you can be mevarer, I'm not even weighing in. If we can somehow see when that mikvah became a mikvah psula, forget about a chazaka. A chazaka de meikara that it was a mikvah kshera. We have evidence that not. Somebody comes forward and says, you know what? I cleaned out the mikvah 2 weeks ago and I emptied out the water. You're going to say, yeah, but there was a chazaka that's a mikvah kshera. That's not kineged a chazaka. A chazaka means b'makom shi'ef shalavarer. Oh, Shlomo Chanan writes the following, you saw that, you know what? That's why birur will take preference over nihug. Rabbi Chanan writes, you know what? With that in mind, I'm going to answer a fascinating issue, a sugya in Kedushin and Dapei, where the Gemara raises the following. What happens if you have a robe that indicates this and a chazaka that indicates that? You have a contradiction between a robe and a chazaka. So the Gemara just says, Ruba v'chazaka, Ruba adif. Ruba v'chazaka, if it's robe versus chazaka, robe prevails. Rabbi Chanan is so bothered. You know, you would expect the Gemara to say minayin minala. How do you know that that's true? Rov is a din daraisa, acharav lahatos. Chazak is a din daraisa. That's negivatim chulin davyud. Now, so how do you know this daraisa takes preference over that daraisa? How indeed do you know that's true? So Rabbi Chanan writes the following important chiddush that now you know what rov acharav lahatos means birur. That's a chiddush, but means birur. It mirror. We can assume that if this is what occurred in the vast majority of cases, barring any foreknowledge, you know what? This is what happened. Rov is not telling us that how to act when you are in doubt. Rov is machria, and chazaka is a form of niug, like that tosus, that you can apply chazaka even makom shi'ef shalios. No? That's exactly the chiddush. So if it's a rov versus chazaka, you know what? Of course, rov will prevail. Wow. Rabbi Chan gives you another example, and that's why this piece is in Baba Basra. No, this is Daf Chav Gimel. Basra Chav Gimel. Oh, that's Beitza Daf Yud. No, that's Rov versus Karov. You know what? I went ahead and designated birds for you, Sanyante. Great. You know, I wanted to do Shita. Great. All of a sudden, I go back to the coop, and you know what? It's not the way I left it. The dark birds that are positioned here are positioned there. The light birds were positioned here, positioned there. Something was disturbed. You know what the Gemara says? There are a couple of possibilities. Now, one possibility is those birds that you designated flew the coop, and these are new birds. If the birds are where they were supposed to be, okay, I'm good to go. They're not. What happened? You know, one possibility is they're gone. These are new birds. Those birds are mokza. Those birds are inam and amuchan. You know what their possibility is? No. Proximity. you know, maybe it's more reasonable to assume that the bird was on the left, went to the right, as opposed to the birds left and new birds came in. You know what the Gemara calls that? Karov. Karov. So the Gemara raises a fascinating deal. What happens if you have a clash between Rov and Karov? Rov and Karov. And if the Gemara says, you know what? Eglarufa. You find, no, Rachmana l'Islam and Yitzhak. Someone has to take responsibility for that mace. That mace. There are two cities. One city is close. One city is much larger. No? You have a small enclave which is close, but then you have a metropolitan area which is a little bit further. Who has to take Akrayas? If you're going to Hochanach HaRov, let's go with the big city. Hochanach HaKarov, you're going to say, you know what? The small city. That's a deal in the Gemara. But that's a stira, no? Is it A or is it B? Is it Rov versus Karov? Whoa, that the Gemara says, that's the Muksa issue. And the Gemara says, and those two sugya is stunning, no? Rov. Rov is going to trump Karov. Rov is going to trump Karov. You know what that's going to mean? The responsibility of Irnidah, of Egla Rufa? Well, Poshim Shat is going to be the larger city. The larger city. Wow. In the case of the Muktzah, I'm going to have to assume that most birds are not Memuchan. So if there is a Safek, I can't assume that this bird is the bird that I designate. If that's, you can have a Tfiyah Zayin, you can recognize that indeed that's the case. Why should that be? Rabbi Chanan writes the same thing. You know what? Because Rov is Magarer. And Karov is Nihug. In that case of Egla Rufa, we don't know who the Rotzeach is. So you know what the Torah says? Let the closer city go ahead and do this, let the Sanhedrin come, because you know what? That's going to create such a rash. Hopefully, that's going to lend itself to Birur. It's not that Karov is Mevarer, but you know what? The whole viz, that the whole process of, you know, Sanhedrin's coming to town. Everybody's talking about it. Why is it true? Because Rachmana l'Tzlan, a person was killed. You know what? Hopefully, that call is going to create certain evidence. Someone will come forward. Wow. It's not that the Karov is... And the Pasuk says, let the closer city do this. That's not Birur. That's how you should be knowing in order to hopefully attain Birur. Oh, so Rabbi Chanan writes, if it's Rov versus Karov, that's like Rov versus Chazaka. And you know what? Ruba Adif. Wow. And then Rabbi Chanan writes the following nafkamina. Let's assume, for example, you and I are disputing something. You know what? Ooh. You bring Aiden. Wow. You brought two Aiden. You know what? Guess what? I have two Aiden. You have two Aiden, I have two Aiden. Okay. You know what that's called? Trey or trick. Okay. So you know what? Business is going to say, you know, we have a problem here now. Trey or trey, two Aiden. Okay. You know what I'm going to say? Okay. I have two more Aiden. You know what we're going to say? That doesn't help. Trey command. I have a Migo. I have an 8-effort. What happens if I have the following? Oh, but you know what? There's a Chazakah that supports me. Oh, all of a sudden, Bezin's all ears. What, you're not interested in my Eden, but you're interested in my Chazakah? Why exactly is that true? So Rabbi Chanan writes also a fasting like this. You know what? If you bring two Eden, you've come to the end of the line. You've maxed out with Birur. No? Trey. I'll bring two more Aiden. That doesn't help. Trey Kameya. The only thing now we're interested in is how to be Noheg B'makom Safek. How to be Noheg B'makom Safek. So if you will bring forth a Raya that's Birur, you know what I'm going to say? That doesn't help. But if you will bring forth a Raya in the world of Nihug, wow, that will be relevant, even Makom Trey. Oh, that's what Rabbi Chanan writes, no? So you know what? A Chazakah will be relevant, Makom Trey. But amigo is not going to be relevant for Makom Trey. No? Why exactly is that true? Because that's a difference between Birur versus Niyug, and that's what Chazakah is. I'll tell you the following. That's the lumpus of Safek Tuma. Meaning what? When we go ahead and declare that, you know what, this is a woman who is a Safek Tuma. There was Kino Yenstira. When we say Tuma Ksiba Karayas, does it mean Tuma because of the Kinoi? I would say not necessarily. It doesn't mean Vinistera is enough, Kruya Temeya. Does it mean that Vadai Niveles? I would say, you know what? It's not that we're Machria, that Vadai Niveles. But you know what the application of Tuma to a Suffix Tuma tells us? The following, that in a case of a Suffix Sota, There is no bir. If this is a vade sota, there's bira. You have Aden, the shiznashis, shizin, so we're done. Here, there is no bira. But so what do you do? What do you do? You know what the Torah tells us? This is midinihu. We have to be no heg tuma. Since this is a woman who violated kinui and stira, the Torah says she has to be treated as though v'hi nitma'a. Not the Torah suffix. The Torah is vada. The nistra v'hi nitma'a. One has to be no heg. And that's the klal, the suffix tuma. A suffix tuma. Not in the world of bir, but in the world of niug. And that niug, that what do you mean? The Torah is vada. Oh, Tosus is father. No. You need the concept of Safek Duma, the Isra Krah, the Mesa Sfeika. What's wrong with Safek Daraisa the Chumrah? What's wrong with Safek Daraisa the Chumrah? No. The answer is the following. Here, Safek Duma is a different world. No? Here, we're telling you that one has to be no Heik Duma because there was Raglaim Adavar, and that Niyog is considered to be that which is the Torah's Vaday. Wow. So therefore, you understand very well, as Tosa says, don't equate a Safek Tumah with the typical halach of Sveika Daraisa L'chumrah. Sveika Daraisa L'chumrah. Or, for example, as follows. What happens if it's a case of a Sveik? Oh, the Mishnayis, the Perakabon of Taros. You know what? A Safek Tumah is going to be usur, even in a case of Sveik. Even in a case of a Sveik as well. And what we saw before, that I can apply the principle of Safek Tumah regardless of chazaka, ein hol chenachar chazaka, ein hol chenachar chazaka, and I'll tell you the following issue. This is like a fascinating deal in Menachos Chinuch Shin Samach Hey. Menachos Chinuch writes the following: a suffik tum is asur laboel. Menachos Chinuch writes the following: asur laboel, boel. Let's say it's a baal. The baal doesn't know what happened. No, the baal can confirm what happened. His wife is or is not an Eshes Eshes Insa. The Baal does not know. As a result of being a Safek Sota, she's a Sura LaBoel. What does that mean? The Boel and the Isha, the Nivellas, are forbidden to each other because maybe they had. Let's assume, for example, they don't know. They're more than confident that an Aptus Nus did not take place. You're dealing with the players. You're not dealing with the Chshash of a Baal. She's a surah laboel. It's fascinating. Suffolk, she's a surah laboel. When the Boel and the Isha are absolutely positive, confident, you know, we messed up. We violated Stira, but we did not violate any Isra, Venetius, Isha's Insa. You know what? The Menachos Chinuch writes, he thinks as a Dara Pasha, they're forbidden. Because, you know what? Kinui and Stira means one is no Heg Tumah. The only resolution is Hashkar. The only resolution is considered to be the Hashkar. And that's a fascinating deal. Know that's how we understand the application of, and maybe that's the Kiddush. If you have an Eishes Nishinsa, that's Birur, Vaday Tmeya. Here the Torah tells us the following: as a result of Kinui and Stira, one has to be no Heg Tuma, despite the fact that, you know what, we did not yet determine. That will be determined by the Hashkar. But until that occurs, you know what the Torah tells us, v'hin nitma'a, that that's considered to be a tumah, which indeed is b'toras v'adai, not the tumah, which is only that which is b'toras suffering. So that's like a fascinating possibility, understanding these sugyas. Tosus even pointed out, and maybe the answer again is nihug, the Tosus of Bava Kama Defir Aleph that I often mention. Tosus says the following: when a woman is Yoledes, or when a woman is Anida, you know what it means? Number one, she's Tumeya. Number two, she's Asura. She's Asura Labal. So Tosus writes like a stunning Kiddush. You know what? You have a case of a Shilya Shiyatza Miktasa. That's the case of the Gemara, right? Bavakamidaf Yud Aleph. You know what that means? The birthing process began. And you know what? That Shilya Shiyatza Miktasa. Part of the sack protruded, you know? Is that considered to be a form of labor? Or is that not? Oh, so the Gemara says, you know what? There are a couple potential issues. Number one is a question. Do you assume yesh shilya below vlad? Do you assume that a sac does not mean in any shape or form that any part of the fetus protruded. It's just a sac. It's a sac. Maybe one could argue, yei shilya b'liva. That's one suffix. That's one suffix. No? And let's assume there's another suffix. Even if you assume that ein shilya b'liva, that, you know, okay, part of the fetus started to emerge. It left the gufa yisha. Yeah, but leida, needed af chavches, requires a significant amount of vavlad. Let's assume rov. Rov of vavlad has to leave. Rov of vavlad has to protrude. Has to protrude. So you know what? If all you know is shulya shiyatza miktsasa, you know what? Maybe we should treat that as a sveik sveika. A sveik sveika. Number one, one could argue, yes, shulya b'lovad. Number two, maybe one could argue, even if yes, part of the vlad emerged, but you know what? That small part of the vlad, al-kidin, is not considered to be an act of leida at all. Okay? So possibly there are two moving parts. If you hold the ein shulya b'lovad, there's only one suffix. No? Was it rov? Was it not rov? If you hold yesh shulya b'lovad, there are two sfeikos. No? Did the leida even begin? And if the leida began, maybe that was insufficient. Insufficient leida. Wow. Okay. So Tosus writes a studying to you. So you have a couple of possibilities. Then no? You have, maybe it's one suffix, because ein shulya b'lovad. Maybe it's a sveik seika, yesh shulya b'lovad. Let's assume it's a sveik seika. So what would the halacha be? What would the halacha be? Oh, so Tosa says something which is pretty incredible. Tosa says this. Okay, you have a sveik seika. You have a sveik seika regarding this issue. What sveik seika, whether this woman is considered to be Aoletis. So you know what Tosa says? Wow. So as far as the issue of whether she's Tamei or Tahor, I'm going to apply the Dinei Safek Tumah. And a suffik tumor shusiyachet sveiko tami, even sveik seika. That's the Mishnah in Taras Perek Vav. As far as the issur labal is concerned, that's a question of issur v'hetter. And here I'm going to pass the sveik seika. Sveik seika, we don't say suffik daraisa l'chumra. So we're going to say she's tahora. She's tahora. So Tosa says that's really like shocking, but Tosa doesn't bother. You know what? She is muteras alabal, but she's tamei mi daraisa. She's tahora. A suffix for Shusarabin, but she's a surlabal because of Sveika Darais Lachuman. Tosus is not bothered by such a psak. We can paskin that she is absolutely Tahora and she's Asura. We can paskin she's absolutely Tamea and she indeed is Muteris. That was like Chedushim. Chedushim to assume that's true. No? Chedushim that. Oh, that's where the Shidduk Metzis rise. Well, come down here out. No, that's not called a suffix to him. Because here we don't even know if there was a Leida, and that's a Tumas Ria, that's not Tumas Manga. No? Oh, like the Tosus and Nida. No, but our Tosus assumes like other possibility. And Tosus says that is a suffix tumor. So you know, I'm going to paskin. She's Tahora and she's Asura. How can you paskin that? I'll tell you what the answer is. Nihug. No? And that is, how to be knowing in the world of Issa, and how to be knowing in the world of Tumintara, are not necessarily the same din. Not necessarily the same din. Therefore, that's not considered to be right the steer in any shape or form. Well, that's like a stunning chiddush that Tosos has. But all of that I would tell you points to the nihug track. It's not a steer to be noig when it comes to tara differently than when it's noig when it comes to the case of iser. And those are the klalim of safek tuma. Those are the klalim when it comes to safek tuma. Menchaschina writes the chiddush right in Reish Samach Gimel. Whenever we speak about Tumas Kohanim, there are two moving parts, no? One issue is the Kohen Tamei or is the Kohen Atamei? Another issue is Issur v'Heter, no? Is the Kohen allowed to do this? Is he not allowed to do that, no? When I say you're a Kohen, so you know what? Number one is, so are you allowed to put yourself in that situation or are you not? That's where Issur v'Heter. Number two, if you did so, are you Tamei? Are you Tahor? So Mechassinuch raises like a fascinating issue now, and it's Reish Samach Gimel. Do these two halachas always go hand in hand? Always go hand in hand. If this is a Sveik Sveika Rishusayachin, you know what that's going to mean? A Kohen who finds in that situation is Tamei. Did he violate the Isser L'Nefesh Lo Yitama Bamav? It's a Sveik Sveika. And if a sveika is not asura, you would have the same Minchas Chinuch rights contrast as that tosus. Baba Kama Daf Yud Aleph. You could have a case where, you know what, the kohen didn't violate an iser, but the kohen became tameh. Or maybe one could suggest the following. Maybe whatever would result in the kohen becoming tameh is asur. That's what the iser is, for the kohen indeed to become tameh. Or could one argue that, you know what, you can have different principles guiding the iser of the kohen and the chalos, whether a kohen is tameh or whether a kohen is considered to be tameh. So here I think this sheds a very, very different light, and one could argue again. Sota vadei shezimsa, clearly that is the case. What about when it comes to safek? Ibn Karay as follows. You're right, that the Torah tells us ksuma tumaksiba ke'arayas, not as a form of biur, as a form of niug. One has to be no heg duma, calls man, that there wasn't the hashkah, the mesota, that exonerated, that indeed declared that this woman is either yes, guilty, or she's innocent of being the ishish, she's innocent. Okay, we'll have to continue on that. But you have my days with the cases of Machshu Dushasa and the cases of Sota. When it comes to the details, we started to discuss about Saros, Yima Chalitza, and the like. Okay, just wanted to finish that. Okay, good. Just a few comments about Shuas. We had mentioned in Parshas Yisrael that when the Torah describes Kabbalah Sator and Shmos Berak Yitzhak, you know, what was occurring in Kabbalah Sator originally sounds very, very different. The Pasuk says that Bavur Yishma Ha'am Bedabri Imach. Bavur Yishma Bedabri Imach. That Bnei Yisrael were told the Torah is going to be communicated between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu was the Don HaNavim. And what was the role of Klal Yisrael? The role of Klal Yisrael was to eavesdrop to bystanders. Bavor Yishma Amadari Mach. I'm going to speak with you, and you know what? The people will hear that. That very pasuk, on Perek Yates, all of a sudden says, Vayaged Moshe Stivrei Am Lifnei Hashem. All of a sudden that Moshe Rabbeinu reiterated to HaKadosh Baruch Hu the response of Bnei Yisrael. The response of Bnei Yisrael. And what's so surprising is, the Torah doesn't tell us what the response of Bnei Yisrael was. The Torah doesn't record. Just Vayaged Moshe. And then you look at all the psukim that follow, like everything changed. Everything changed, no? All of a sudden, Bnei Yisrael told one restriction after another. You know what? Al tig shalisha, chibsu sinosen, heye nechonim. All of a sudden, you know, all these dinim followed. Be careful about Tumentara. Well, you have to prepare yourself. You have to be Toveles. Like, what exactly changed? So that's the famous Rashi. Now, Rashi writes the following, that Eino Dome. How can you compare a person who hears Mipi HaShliach as opposed to what hears Mipi HaMelech? Ritzoneinu Liros HaSmokeinu. That was Vayaged Moshe. Initially, Bnei Yisrael were told, you know, you'll receive the Torah indirectly. Which will be given to Moshe Rabbeinu, and Bnei Yisrael will go ahead and hear. Okay, that's fine. Bnei Yisrael were not satisfied with that. They wanted to be able to be the direct Mekabel HaTorah. Wow. Ritzoneinu Liros HaSmokeinu. And all of a sudden, Kadosh Baruch Hu responded, if Ritzoneinu Liros HaSmokeinu, you know what? The bar is raised, demands, no? Kedusha, Tara, Altig Shalashisha. Not Tvila, all of a sudden. So that's like a stunning shift. That one model of Kabbalah Sator would be that we would have been spectators in Kabbalah Sator. And the ultimate model, the Schus of Klal Yisrael, is they weren't spectators, they were players in Kabbalah Sator. They directly received the Torah. How exactly does that work? You know, so there's a small Tosas in Brachos Chafma days. Tosas writes like two words, and that's like unbelievable. You know what Tosas writes? Shomea Ka'one. Shomea Ka'one. Wow. That's like stunning. Mamin Arsini is Shomea Ka'one. You know, we're all obligated to make Kiddush. One person will make Kiddush, and everybody else is Yotze. How are you Yotze? You know what the answer is? Sukkulam Ches. Yotze through Shomea Ka'one. Shomea Ka'one. Sometimes Shmi is tantamount to Amira. Shomea Ka'one. Tosas even writes, no, Brachas Kafalo, Sukkulam Ches, that, you know, Shomea Ka'one is a Hefsik. Shemekon is a hefsek. the Shita of the Rian Rabbeinu Tam. You know, you're in the middle of Shmoneh Esrei. You know, you can't be Yosei Kadosh HaKadosha, because Shemei HaKon is mamish considered to be Aniyah. You pass them like Rashi. The Shemei HaKon is not technically a Hefsik. Not a Hefsik. But that's incredible. Where do you see Shemei HaKon? As the Tosa says, that was the operative principle when it comes to Kabbalah Satara. Kabbalah Satara. Which means it's something which is stunning, that is B'nai Yisrael going to receive the Torah? Absolutely yes. But you know, there are two models. One is that you could receive the Torah passively by being a spectator. Another model is that you can be an active participant in Kabbalah Satara. At the end of the day, we would have been bound one way or another. Yeah, but that was Rissoneinu L'Rissos Malkeinu, the she'ifa of being a participant in Kabbalah Satara. Not just being a passive spectator in Kabbalah Satara. And how exactly does it happen? So he told me, Shomei HaKon. And what is it that B'nai Yisrael heard? What exactly did they hear? So they didn't hear everything. But, you know, they heard, the Ramban writes, that's the Iker Dei Medrash. They heard the Aseres HaDibros. And there's something unusual, we mentioned this in Parshas Yisro now, about the Aseres HaDibros, that the Aseres HaDibros are not simply of infinite value in and of themselves, but the Aseres HaDibros represent the totality of all of Torah, The Medrash writes that, you know, if you count every letter of the Aseres HaDibros, there are 620 letters corresponding to, you know, Taryag Mitzvos and different days of Medrash, Shem Mitzvos Beinoach or Mitzvos Drabanan, but it's Mefurish in Medrash, that the Aseres HaDibros represent the totality of Torah in a whole. It's fascinating. In Parsha Shoftim, when the Torah tells us the Melech has to write the Sefer Torah, and the language of the Gemara Sanhedrin Chaf Aleph, the Melech has to carry it with him every day, every moment of each day. Oso sol kamin kamiya, tolo zero, makes it into an amulet, puts it on his arm. If you look at Mikros Gedolos, the Das Kiyam HaMeotosis, they write, you know what the Melech carried with him every day? Aseres HaDibros. Because Aseres HaDibros represents the totality of Kol HaTorah Kulo. B'nai Yisrael heard the Aseres HaDibros, and you know what? That means that we were the recipients of Torah. Not just simply that the Torah was given to the Pirush HaTorah, no doubt. So much was given to Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe Rabbeinu communicated that to Klal Yisrael. But we have a right to say we were the Mekabli HaTorah. There's a beautiful Rashbam, right, in this Pirush HaHagadah, Rosh HaPesach, that writes that that's the meaning of Dayenu. You know, you say that difficult line of Dayenu. That was probably a question that you asked at your Seder when you were pretty young. Ilo Kervali Fener Sinai, Lenos Lenos HaTorah, like really? That would have been enough. Just to go there and walk away empty-handed? Like that would have been enough. That was the question. The answer you probably gave young Sean to probably something with Aftos, no? Probably no. Yeah, because Isha Chod Levecha, you know. I'm not minimizing Aftos, but leaving Maven Har Sinai without the Torah was not an option. That's Mefurish and Rashbam. No, that was not an option. Not an option. How could that possibly be? The Bravino writes in the Haggadah, you know what Dayenu is? It's a rhetorical kasha. Dayenu? That's a version of Rabbeinu. That would have been enough. I mean, you have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for every step. Everything is necessary. It would not have been enough to do A, B, or C without D. But you know what? That doesn't mean you don't have to be thankful for A, B, C, and D. That's how the Rabbeinu writes. Dayenu? You think that would have been enough? No. You have to experience everything, but you have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rashbam writes the following. Rashbam writes, no, this is the pshat. You know what it means? It means plan A. Bavur yishma am bedabrimach. That's mefurish in the Rashbam. Of course we would have received the Torah. But we would have received the Torah indirectly. Because Baruch Hu would give the Torah to Moshe Rabbeinu, and Moshe Rabbeinu would be the Sabbath Klal Yisrael. We wouldn't have walked without the Torah. We would have had everything. But you know what? We wouldn't have heard it directly pihagur. It would have been Ayyadei Shliach. And yet, you know what? Incredible. Nasalana Asato. Because B'nai Yisrael expressed that desire, Ritzonin Lismakenu. And yes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, yes. You'll be able to hear the Aseres HaDibros that represents the totality of Kol HaTorah Kula and the Tosfos and Brachos Daf Chav. And now I'm going to invoke the concept of Shemei HaKon. You know what Shemei HaKon means? You are Yotzei Kiddush. Not that he was Yotze Kiddush. You're Yotze Kiddush. No, how is that true? That's Shomei HaGaon. So that's the meaning that Rashbam writes of Nasan Lano Es HaTorah. We would have received the Torah, but Al Yidei Moshe Rabbeinu. But we receive the Torah ourselves. So that's something which is an incredible schus of Mamon Har Sinai. And that's like aspirational. Not to be a player in Kabbalah HaTorah, in Mamon Har Sinai, and not just simply to be a spectator. All too often, you know, people could be satisfied with kind of sitting on the sidelines. No, and that can't be. That can't be the Shifa. It has to be, again, Nasan Lano Es HaTorah. I often mention that Ramban in the very end of Parshas Mishpatim, that even though Rabbi Eliezer would sit and learn every yontif, but you know what? Hakol modim batzeres dibinam melachem. Rabbi Eliezer said everyone agrees. You have to have a special suda when it comes to the yontif of Shuras, because yom shen nitzna bo Torah, because it's zman matan Torah sing. Well. In other words, that Kabbalah Satorah demands a Suda Soda. That's the Ramban, the reign of Mishpatim. If Bnei Yisrael receive the Torah, you have to celebrate. And that's Mikan Shosin Mishteh, the Gomer Shel Torah. That celebration is critical. So the Suda that we have on Yantif is not merely a Suda Yantif, it's that, no doubt. But it's that and more. It's a Suda Soda for Kabbalah Satorah itself. The Shultos writes, like that stunning Kiddush, we mentioned it before Purim, that since Purim, Shabbos Peches, is the time of Kabbalah Satorah, Kimu V'Kiblo, that's why part of the Mitzvah of Purim is to have a Sudas Purim. Hashem, when it comes to Hanukkah. Because there's a dimension of Purim that didn't apply in Hanukkah, and that was Kabbalah Satorah. Kabbalah Satorah is Mechayev Hodah. Kabbalah Satorah is Mechayev Suda, a Suda Soda. And therefore, that's part of the Chiyu. We had mentioned in the past that, you know, Rashi reads that Pasuk very differently. When the Pasuk says, V'yachazol kem v'yom chad yishtu, Rashi writes that's a critique of Klal Yisrael. Now's not the time to have a Suda. No? That's what Rashi writes. And the Ramban writes, Bikancho Semish the Gomer Shel Torah. So I'll tell you what I think is a beautiful Ashitase. No? A beautiful Ashitase. We mentioned just very, very recently. Now, the Ram Sakam Daf Vavma days says there's certain times that everyone agrees, Ein Mukta Mucha Vishat Torah. No? But the Torah doesn't follow a chronologic sequence. That's the beginning of Sefer B'Midbar. The chronology goes back. So the Gemara says that's a Rai Muchachas, that the Torah does not follow chronological order, because guess what? The Midbar, Perek Aleph, begins with the second year, second month, and all of a sudden, Zion Aleph, Tes Aleph, the chronology goes back. Sometimes the Chumash will go back in time. Okay. So that's clear. There's sometimes yes. But you know what? How often do you apply that principle? You know, Rashi will apply it more often than the Ramban. The Ramban Kedar Kabbal Kodesh is limited with applying Imukta Merchav Torah, and I'll tell you a stunning example, Yisro Mishpatim. Rashi writes, let's apply the principle of Mukta Merchav Torah. Well, first the Torah tells us the events of Mamre Sinai, and then the Torah doubles back. It tells you what happened before. In other words, Rashi writes that, you know what, the events in Mishpatim were Dalet Sivan. It's Mefurish in Rashi, no? Take a look at the Rashi, not the Shmos Chav Talib. Rashi writes that was Dalet Sivan. That's a Mukta Merchav Torah. Well, that's something which is then the Mishpatim really happened before Yisrael. But you know what? The Torah tells us Mamre Sinai, and then it goes on to tell you the background. The Ramban disagrees and writes we shouldn't apply the concept of Ein Mukta Merchav Torah, and therefore the Ramban writes the real sequence is Yisrael followed by Mishpatim. Yisrael followed by Mishpatim. That's something which is really critical. Now, you know, Yisrael is Nase, and Mishpatim is Nase v'Nishma. It's like a fascinating issue. Which came first? No. Which came first? Yeah, that's part of Rashi and the Ramban of the Ein Mukta Merchav Torah. Ein Mukta Merchav Torah. That's something which is very, very important. No? Okay. According to the Ramban, we don't apply Mukta Merchav Torah. You know what that means? That pasuk of Vayechzol Kim Yochel V'Yishtu, Shmos Chav Dalet, that was La'achar Mamre Har Sinai. Great, now that's Mikan Shos and Mishta Lagomer Shotah. That's the Ramban. That's the Ramban. You receive the Torah. You have to sell her. You have to sell her. According to Rashi, that pasuk, Vayechem Elusha was before Kabbalah Sator. Before Kabbalah Sator. So imagine, I'm telling you, you know, he ain't a homie. You know, something stunning is going to happen in a few days. Focus on positioning yourself for Kabbalah Sator. And all of a sudden, Vayechem Elusha came off to the Ishtar. They started taking a break and eating and drinking. Why would that be a praise of Klal Yisrael? It's not surprising that Rashi writes that's a criticism, that's a critique. Now is not the time to. And the Ramban says, Mikan Shosem Mishnah, Gomer Shel Torah. Now is the time to. You know what? Because now, what is now? What is now? Was that before Ma'amar Sinai? Or is that after Ma'amar Sinai? Poshim Shad, everyone would agree with the Ramban. And that is, once you receive the Torah Hashem, celebration is considered to be that which is critical. So that, no doubt, has to be the mindset of the privilege of Kabbalah Sator, the Shevach V'Hodah, that indeed entails the fact that a person has to see to it that you're a player in Kabbalah Sator, you're not just simply a spectator. Ma'amar Har Sinai is not something you want to be Yotzei Dechavoso Al Yedei Acherim. And here you have to invoke, it's also sorry, it's the concept of a Shomei Kona. That's part of the Kedusha Seyamah. The Sefer Ikarim writes, it's also a Kliyakar, but the reason the Torah doesn't mention Shavuos is Zman Matan Torah Seinu is because Zman Matan Torah Seinu is not relegated to a once-year experience of the end of Shavuos. The Mashal Kliyakar gives in Parshas Emor is the Torah never says that Yom Narayim or Shem Kippur is a time for Tshuva, because you think Tshuva is limited to Yom Narayim. The Rambam writes it's an auspicious time to do tshuva. That certainly is true. It's a zman tshuva l'kol, but the chiyuv of tshuva is something which is ongoing. After b'chol yom b'yom k'chadashim is not true every day. It's only true. It means, after all, b'chol yom b'yom. So of course the Torah is not going to tell us that, you know, Shavuos is the time of zman matan Torah saying. Kabbalah Sator is too critical to relegate it to, you know, one day a year and not the rest of the year. It means a shifa machayim. As I mentioned, you know, yesterday, that's the Ramban's Birchas Sator, a daily chiyu midaraisa, right, of Shevach V'Hodah for Kabbalah Sator. That's the Kiddush of that the Ramban writes. That's the machayim of Birchas Sator itself. So this is something that has to be central to the experience of Kabbalah Sator, to be able to see to it that you know that there's shifos, and that a person is learning with a sense of amelus, and with hasmad, and a person recognizes the sus of being a player, nasamanu, etc. That's something which is critically important. So you have to give thought to how is it that we do so? How do we transition, and how do you walk away from Kabbalah Sator with that heightened experience, that heightened awareness of the fact that Hashem Baruch Hu gave us that schus of Bitzoneinu, Liras is smoking. It's something you have to internalize, something to be mindful of, and Bezra Hashem, to be Mekabel the Torah, the Yava Uvetz.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah,
we discussed this, like, it was only, like, 5 months ago.